World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm looking a little bit grubby here today, folks, live and in color from somewhere near Charleston, West Virginia this morning. And for those of you who don't know or do know, we're in a hotel, Mike Blake. By the way, my wife, Michelle, I know is listening right now. So if I can't ever go on a trip with my wife, I want to take Mike Blake with me because he's a good travel partner. And so it's been really, really good. Mike and I are stuck here in a hotel, not stuck, we're staying in a hotel here in Charleston.
Dunbar
is actually the town. Not really quite, because we're picking up the van and the camper. And we had some miscommunication. They thought we were getting it this morning, so it wasn't done. So we had to spend a night in the hotel here. And it's all good. Mike's been really, really gracious. And so I'm kind of grubby today. I got on my grubby Coach Dave Live hat. I got on my because I'm the coach, that's why his shirt and everything looked kind of dark. I was going to put on my dark old dollar store glasses, and I thought that's too much darkness, so got me another set. We're going to do communion here in a second, and just a lot. I just want to share this with you, friends, because yesterday I talked about, nobody likes to talk about money. Nobody does, and so I don't like to ask for it, and I don't like to. But yesterday, I want you to know that we received two in the last 24 hours, two anonymous. I mean, I know who they are. They want to remain anonymous. Two $5,000 donations in the last 12 hours. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I want to say this before we get too deep in this thing. Here's really one of the things I think, folks, look, listen now. Listen to me. We're really focusing a lot on what everybody needs and all that. And I think that's all well and good. That's all well and good. Here's what I think maybe some of you could start doing. Why don't you look around for people who have an old camper who really they don't use it. It just sits in their yard, deteriorates every day. And see if maybe they'd be interested in getting rid of it. Maybe they don't want to donate it. Maybe they'd sell it. Maybe they would take it for, maybe we could get a $3,000 camper that we could raise money for. Now, then we have a logistics of getting it down here, and that's an issue. But I'm going to show you some videos today. It's just going to break your heart. Hang on there. What's the temperature? 18 degrees here in Charleston. What's the temperature in Swannanoa, North Carolina? It's 18 degrees in Swannanoa. And they're sleeping in tents, still sleeping in tents. And so I think some of you, that might be a good thing that you could do. Maybe find around you somebody that has a camper that they don't use. And maybe for $2,500, they'd sell it to you. And then we'd get it down here. I'll be honest with you. I see that as the most immediate need. I'm going to show you some video on that here this morning. I got some good stuff with it. And I just appreciate y'all hanging in there with us every day. Putting up with my screaming and yelling and all that. It's all good. It's all good. And I know that I'm going to be down there tomorrow and I'm going to see again with my own eyes and realize how much I have and how selfish I am and how little they have and how much has been taken from them. And Lord, help us all. So I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to let Joe come in and take us in communion. Don't go away because I got some really, really good stuff to show you. So Joe got up clear out there in California to be with us this morning. Joe, we appreciate you, brother. And let's as often as you do this, let's do this in remembrance of him. Go ahead.
Producer, if we could have that. Okay, thanks. Yeah, okay. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh.
Well, that's powerful. That is something right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
That happened to me, Joe. That happened to me.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Wow.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God.
You be reconciled to God, folks. Every one of you have to be reconciled to Christ. Amen.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him.
You know what, folks? Even if there wasn't a God, and even if the Bible wasn't true, man, there's some wisdom in that thing, isn't it? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
What if the whole God thing's made up? Still, the guidelines of the Bible of how we should live our lives, it's unbelievable. The wisdom is unbelievable. Go ahead, Joe.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in gratitude in our hearts, that our hearts are beating, that our lungs are full, that we're here together by this miracle of modern technology, and that we also are grateful for hope, because when we realize that those that are still trying to get back on their feet in North Carolina, that hope might be all they have, and hopefully they at least have a tent. And sometimes, Lord, with you in our lives, hope can be an amazing thing to have.
He is that tent, Joe. He is that tent.
And so, Lord, we feel the Spirit now. Your Spirit is in us, and let your Spirit be with all those in North Carolina assisting, especially with Coach and those helping him. And let miraculous abundance go with them. Let there be more food than they brought, more gas than they need, or diesel, whatever fuel they're using, more everything than they expect. Then let them come to expect the abundance of your miracles around them as they journey in where hope is the one thing people cling to. Hope and you, Lord. And let that be enough to get these people through this really challenging and bitterly cold season in their lives. And Lord, we were reminded that in my reading today that we are ambassadors for you. So let what we say, what we think, what we do, be what our Lord Jesus Christ would have done in the same situation that we find ourselves in. Let us be more and more aligned with the Holy Spirit and with you, Lord, so that we walk the path as you would have us walk it, that we are naturally obedient and listening and hearing you, God. And so we ask that you watch over us and our families and all those dear to us and all things dear to us in our lives, and keep us safe and fill us with hope, and let our faith be stronger every day, and let us be radiating an abundance of love from us. For that is the most powerful of the three, Lord. Faith, hope, and love. And we are grateful for communion and all that means. And we ask you to forgive us our sins and transgressions as we take this holy tradition and ritual here. And we ask you to bless the bread and the drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us 2 millennia ago, that we who believe in him may not perish but have everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. God bless you, man.
Welcome,
appreciate you getting up so early out there.
It's a privilege, Coach.
I know this. I know it is. You know, I've really kind of twisted. Not twisted. It's not the right word this morning. I don't know what you guys think. I think yesterday's show was absolutely profound, as they sometimes seem to get more and more profound. And I kind of want to piggyback on that a little bit today. But before I do, I want you to... If you could, Spencer, pull up. I sent you that. Is that what I'm looking for? I'm sorry I didn't number them this morning, but I'm sorry. It says no help. No help. Pull that up. This is, let me back up a second. Spencer, pull up Biden aid. That would be, I don't know how many of you know this. This is unbelievable. Scroll down, Spence. Joe Biden is giving $1 billion humanitarian aid to Africa. Now, folks, hang on. You think this is slap in the face on purpose? I mean, certainly there's somebody around him that would say, "Oh, Joe, you can't be giving that money. You can't be giving that money to Africa when the needs are so great down." It's not like he's not aware of it, right? So somewhere along the line, they came together and said, "Hey, Let's stick it right to them. Screw those people down in Swaminoa. Screw them. We're going to announce money going to Africa. What's going on here? Play that clip right there, Joe Biden. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me.
You know, that's the right thing for the wealthiest nation in the world to do. And today, I'm announcing over $1 billion in new humanitarian support for Africans displaced from homes by historic droughts and food insecurity. We know African leaders and citizens are seeking more than just aid. You seek investment. So the United States is expanding our relationship all across Africa, from assistance to aid, to investment to trade, moving from patrons to partners to help bridge the infrastructure gap. I was told, by the way, when I got elected, I could never get an infrastructure bill passed.
Unbelievable, friends. Unbelievable. Hang on. I'm in a little different situation here on my computer. I'm trying to find this. We're on this right here. I'm sorry. Spencer, whatever page you're on right now, I can't see myself. My screen's kind of screwed up here on my end. Okay, good. Do me a favor. Scroll down, Spencer, because there's another one I want you to play. Scroll on down. Go on down. Keep going. I'll tell you when. Keep going. Keep going. These are people commenting. Okay, play this video, folks. This is what we're heading into. It's 18 degrees. I don't want to make this show all about what's going on. But I want you to understand there's a deep, deep spiritual connection to what's happening. That these are, I would say, for the most part, Christian areas down here, right? This is the Bible Belt. This is the Bible Belt. Why is the Bible Belt in particular being so ignored? What is going on? So for those of you who, it's been over 2 months since this thing hit, I'm going to show you a couple of videos. This is unbelievable. Look, no NC Hurricane Helene victims struggle with winter weather. 18 degrees there right now. Go ahead, play that.
Parts of western North Carolina seeing their first winter weather of the season. But many of the areas seeing snow have not fully recovered from Hurricane Helene. And the conditions that people are living in,
listen, well, reason.
Let's just say less than.
They're going to listen. You're going to hear him say Swaminoa. That's where we're going. That's where Cowboy Dave is, Swaminoa. This is ground zero. Keep going.
Optimal. Steve Harrigan on the ground at Swaminoa, North Carolina, just east of Asheville with the latest. Steve?
John, first snowstorm here underway, and these freezing temperatures really the last thing people in western North Carolina needed. If you see here, people were in these mobile homes. Those floors were torn out by the storm Helene 8 weeks ago. They were moved to hotels by FEMA. Those hotel vouchers for many people have run out, and now they are in tents after 8 weeks after this storm. And for families with small children, it is not an easy transition.
It's awful, especially with your kids. It feels like you're really letting them down. It's really cold. It's very uncomfortable.
A lot of people here have also lost their cars in addition to their homes. They were flooded out in the storm, and there's no money for many for porta-johns or bottled water. And when you talk to emergency workers here, they say the pace of recovery is just startlingly slow.
There's no sewer, there's no water, there's no power. There's your answer.
This is a storm that killed 103 people in North Carolina, caused $50 billion worth of damage. And 8 weeks later, you've got families in donated tents with wood-burning stove.
Boom. Spencer, go back to that same page then. I want to show you another one. This is unbelievable, isn't it, folks? And at the same time, they're sending money to Africa? What? Play this here. This is a real short one.
Hardship and suffering continuing in North Carolina, and President Biden has just announced $1 billion for disaster relief in Africa. Some American families are still sleeping in tents in the freezing cold more than 2 months after Helene devastated the area. Our senior correspondent Steve Harrigan with snow boots on the ground in hard-hit Newland, North Carolina, where I'm sure, Steve, it's getting down into the low 20s at night.
It is 20s right now, John. Not a lot of movement, not a lot of action, not a lot of cleanup.
Jeez, go back one more. One more I want to show you. Folks, this is what we're going into. Here's one, the last one, okay? Hey, listen, I'm telling you, right where you live, friends, you could do an outreach to find a camper that could get down there. Now, look, it's a pain in the butt to drag him down. I understand all that stuff, but we'll figure out a way to get it done. If you can get somebody who will donate a camper, or if you could raise the money to purchase a camper, we'll make sure that it gets down there. Last clip I wanted to show you today. Cowboy Dave's in the middle of all this.
Months since Western North Carolina was hit with devastation from Hurricane Helene. With temperatures dropping fast, locals are pleading for help. News Nation's Brian Enten is on the ground with this exclusive.
Driving around the outskirts of Asheville, it's hard to decide where to even begin. There's just so much hurricane damage, literally everywhere you look. I got a message on X from a woman named Sarah. I want to show you. It says, "Hi, I'm in Swannanoa, North Carolina, one of the hardest hit towns. We lost our home due to the hurricane. We're getting barely any help."
Nice to meet you.
I met Sarah outside the trailer she's living in with her husband, two kids, two cats, and two dogs. Like almost everyone here, their home was destroyed and condemned. And they also lost their cars and their jobs.
Everybody that I've talked to says they're getting no help.
Their trailer was donated by a volunteer, not FEMA, and they have to pay for their own porta potty.
Had to rent this so that we would be able to use the bathroom.
So you have to pay for that yourself?
Yes. Yeah, it's $130 a month to rent one.
Sarah's one hope was a U.S. Small Business Administration disaster loan. But then she got this voicemail.
"This is a call from the U.S. Small Business Administration about your SBA disaster loan application. Due to a lapse in congressional funds, new loan offers will be delayed until Congress provides additional funding for the disaster loan program. We understand how frustrating this delay is."
What did you think when you heard that?
We already have it so rough, and to not be able to get the financial and, you know, help that we need, it's really awful.
Some just down the road have it even more awful. Living in tents and small RVs with no power as winter approaches and temperatures now dip into the 30s.
"There's times we don't get fresh meat because there's no way to keep it cold. Because you got to choose between heating the house with a generator, especially the ones who have kids, and keeping the food cold."
Winter time's coming. These folks cannot be forgot about. Just because you don't see this on TV, Don't just go away. This is not going to go away for a long time. We got to get those folks out of those tents and in those FEMA campers. How's it going to happen?
A lot of the locals I've spoken to are particularly upset about a FEMA compound they say is much nicer than the donated trailers that they are staying in. It's hard to see, but this right here, I'm going to slow down, is the entrance to the compound. There's a lot of security. The public can't go in. We drove up onto a hill behind the compound for a better view, and you see how massive it is. A sea of government trailers. It's so organized and secure, so different from how the people we met are living here.
FEMA's not connecting with the county, the county's not connecting with the state, and you got this big rat race.
Volunteers like combat veteran Robbie Ammons say housing is the biggest issue, and red tape. Families left in tents and RVs because of the permitting process, he says.
"Next week, temperatures are going to start getting in the 30s at night. We're afraid of more hypothermia, folks that are living in the mountains, and there's probably going to be more bodies laying around if we don't start getting these people in some level of temporary housing."
Our thanks to News Nation's Brian Enten for that story.
Okay, by the way, 18 degrees last night. 18. Hey, look, I'm not trying to beat you on the head. I'm not trying to suck money out of you. I just think, folks, out of sight, out of mind, right? So much of America's just moved on. We just moved on. And then Joe Biden's going to send $1 billion to Africa? Tell me here. What's going on, friends? Huh? See, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, evil spirits in high places. Who are those evil spirits in high places that are permitting this to happen in the American government? Who are they? What the heck is going on? Okay, I'm going to shut up a minute. I'm going to let Vinny come in and Frozen Chosen come in. Vinny, you go first. Come on in.
Hey, Coach. So he gives $1 billion to Africa, right? So,
right.
Coach, he goes and going. What does he do? He passes out at the proceedings. Okay?
Yeah, I did. So, Vinny, hang on a second. I don't know who's running the American government. It is not Joe Biden. Go ahead, Vinny.
Right. Well, exactly. Right to my point, because it's a bunch of wicked freaks doing it, Coach. See, yep. If the Amish were in control of FEMA instead of these wicked scumbags, Coach, they would have a shelter built around these people immediately.
That's right. That's right. If the Amish were in control of the government. That's a good line, Vinny.
Thank you.
Amen. Frozen Chosen, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Hey, this is part of the anonymous Pass the Salt group that's down here this week, and we'll give more of a report on Monday. But it's like even the videos show there. It's you got to be here to see it. One, I want to encourage people that have been giving money. The good thing of it is there's a distribution center up here for donated goods that a private entity put together. Guy lost his whole business, and he said, well, what am I going to do with this property? And he set up this distribution center, and it's running like a Swiss watch. This guy's got his act together. And anyhow, but with the money, Cowboy Dave can, when they run out of stuff, he's hands-on down here. He's the eyes and ears. And as soon as he goes there and they say, Cowboy Dave, we don't have any of this, he can go and buy that stuff immediately and get it to the people. And you have to understand, I heard the one lady say water. What we're seeing is there's pallets. So many people have sent pallets. There's pallets of water sitting all over the place now. Water's not really a critical thing anymore. But people keep sending water, and they have so many pallets of water sitting around here. You know what it looks like at 18 degrees, how long water can sit outside? Whoa, it's frozen like a rock. You got to find some place to heat it up just to even drink it. So anyhow, but they're actually, they've got so much water, they're dumping it. They're putting it in dumpsters. They don't know what to do with it anymore. So But guess what? People are still sending water, and it's just a waste of resources. And that's just one example of all the stuff. People are sending semi-loads full of used clothes. So imagine you're down here trying to distribute clothes to people, and you get a semi-load full of used clothes that come out of garage sales, right? You know how long it takes to sort that stuff to find out what's a small, what's a medium, what's a large, what's an extra large, what's a woman's, what's a man's? So what happens is the distribution centers can't take that stuff. If you send them brand new stuff in packages, it already says it's a woman's medium shirt or whatever, boom, they can get it right into the right slot where it needs to go. All of this used stuff just coming down here in a bundle, all it's doing is tying up the distribution center's time, people trying to sort through clothes, and it's madness. It's absolutely madness. So, It's been a real eye opener. It's been a privilege. We've got a lot accomplished down here. I want to thank everyone. Some money, because you don't know the impact it's having. I appreciate the guy that sent a jacket. That's okay, but I'm telling you right now, just like the lady says, she needs $130 a month just to buy a porta potty, right? Where's she going to get $130 from? She don't have a job. She don't have a house. She don't have a car.
Maybe she can get it from Africa.
Right. Does somebody want to send? Call Amazon and have them send a porta potty down here for them, would you? See, I'm just sorry about the sarcasm, but this, folks, that's what the body of Christ is so inefficient of trying to help people down here. I'm telling you what, it's an eye opener, but it's good. Yeah. So praise the Lord. And I want to, you know, and last night we were studying John chapter 10. It says the shepherd leads the sheep out.
Yes, sir.
Not in. So guess what? Cowboy Dave has led us out. He showed us, here's your mission field, boys. Go get it. And once he showed us where it's at, he stepped out of the way and just let us go do our thing.
Amen.
Right? But he was the shepherd who led us out and Amen. Showed us the mission field. And so Pass the Salt has been led out by Coach Dave, by Cowboy Dave, led us out into the mission field. We're boots on the ground here, touching people's hearts, doing what we can. And so anyways, I'm thankful I could give this report. I know Coach wanted to be down here this morning. Yep. But I'm telling you, folks, Pass the Salt is having a huge impact, and it's because of the folks who sent the money
And it is having, it's going to have an immediate impact this morning. Amen, bless Dave. You all. Bless
I'm
you writing, all.
I'm bringing a check for Cowboy Dave. I don't take a user's fee. I don't take a handling fee. I'm going to go down and put the money in his hand because I know what he's doing with it. And that's the problem. But, go ahead.
No, like I say, you donate $100 to Pass the Salt, you're getting $200 worth of ministry down here. Amen. And that's a fact.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And let's get that. Guys, folks, be praying that that van is ready to go this morning. That is going to be an unbelievable blessing to somebody you don't even know. Somebody, his word is, right? When people give us offerings here, I try to respond to every one of them, but I can't. I think we send a thank you. I don't know if we do, but you got to know this, friends. You got to know this. The people that you're sending us to, they'll never be able to thank you. You'll never get a chance to see them, to shake their hand, look in their eye. But $100 going to bring a couple nights of heat to them in a propane tank. They'll never know it was from you. They'll never know. So we're putting it in the hands of people who can actively do good things with it, person to person, FEMA, government. See, I think it's an expose of the, Dave said it, it's the expose of how useless the local church has become. Because the local church has taken all of this, what we would call mercy ministry, welfare, yada, yada, yada. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there will be meat in my house. There's no meat in God's house. And you go to your local pastor and he says, go see FEMA. Call the welfare office. The church was so happy to pass the responsibility of that welfare stuff to the government. Then they could get smoke machines, big parking lots, and they could put padded pews and carpet. And then when disaster hits and a lot of those churches get washed away, you see how incongruent the local church is. Pastors don't even know each other, and if they do, they don't even like each other. If you step outside if you're a Baptist and you give to the Church of God, oh my goodness, you've started a war. Lord help us, man. Lord help us. Frozen Chosen, your hand's still up. Did you want to come back in? I appreciate you down there, man. I'll see you. Pray our van down there. Johnny, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. You know, I got up this morning pretty darn early, and I went outside to start my truck. And it is so cold out. My wife and I, all we can do is pray and think about what's going on down there. And not only just North Carolina, that whole region down there.
Area. Yep.
And when you played that clip from Biden and then the news, and for an opportunity to sit up in the nosebleed seats and look down on the playing field, is to keep a focus on the reality. We are seeing this in real time is what the enemy is doing, and they're pushing their agenda forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just
Johnny, it's the destruction of America. Because listen to me, we're the last bastion of liberty. By the way, Mike Blake and I yesterday, because we got down there early. I didn't mean to cut you off, John. I'll be right back. This stream of consciousness. Because when Mike and I got here about 11:30 and found out the camper wasn't ready. Oh, Mike, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I got on my phone and I said, Bonhoeffer's showing. So Mike and I went and saw Bonhoeffer at a matinee. And here's my response. You go see Bonhoeffer. First of all, it's done by Angel Studios, Christian organization. We need to support them. But you go see Bonhoeffer. And you see exactly what's happening in America today.
Amen, Coach.
It's exactly what's going on in America today. It's a repeat. And it was really good. It was really moving. It was hard to follow. I'll be honest with you, it was hard to follow because they were trying to condense 10 years of Bonhoeffer's life and try to explain it in 10 years of what happened. But folks, I'm sitting there by Mike. I'm thinking, dude, this is happening right now. This is going on right here, right now. We don't see it. We don't think it is. And what was at the heart of Bonhoeffer? What was at the heart of Hitler? He co-opted the churches. He got control of the churches. So ask yourself right now in America, who's in control of the churches? We have a virus coming. Would you please close down? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll close it down. Yes, sir. Right? I encourage you, go see Bonhoeffer and see it through the eyes of not what happened, but of what's coming. Go ahead, Johnny.
Coach, I was just going to just reiterate what you said again, too, is that the camper idea is a great idea. And you guys know Craigslist. Go on Craigslist. Yeah. You know people are selling campers like crazy.
They are. They want to get rid of them.
It's a separate issue on how to get it there. But I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like everybody, we're the last hope.
We're it, man.
For these people, and God tells us to serve, and I'm just gonna pray about how God wants me to serve. But we just got to do the best we can do. But Coach, you've got some great ideas.
Yeah,
getting the campers down to those people, and pray, people, pray
Amen.
For those poor people down there.
Amen.
Thanks, Coach.
See, Johnny, what we're seeing is at least two generations of government benevolence, welfare, Social Security, all that stuff, all dependent on the government. And then what happens when you bite the hand that feeds you? And that's why Trump is fighting against the whittling down of the government. We're all for that, right? We're whittling down of the government. And we're seeing Republicans opposing it. Why is that? Because see that $1 billion, whatever they're sending to Africa, is anybody looking at me right now? Do you really think that money's going to end up in Africa? Tell me you're not that stupid. And that big hunk of money he just sent to Ukraine, you really think that money's going to end up in Ukraine? Come on, come on. It's happening right in front of us. Right in front of us, man. Once again, hey, I watched those guys in that movie. I watched those Nazi soldiers. I watched them. And ask yourself, how could they be so blind? How could they be so blind to what they were doing to these people? Is it any different today? Does the FBI send out a word? Next thing you know, the deputy sheriff, they're all at your house, arresting your friends, throwing them in jail. It ain't no different, friends. Nothing new under the sun. Betty, come on in. Then Joe.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to agree with Frozen. He's right, because they bring clothes down to Anchor Ridge. And I'll tell you what, it was a disaster. A lot of times they just threw them in a bin because they were torn or something and just gave them to Goodwill.
People
and also, I went on Facebook yesterday.
Go ahead.
Exactly. I went on Facebook yesterday, and while I was looking, a friend of mine posted a pastor that was looking for a driver to go get a camper in Chester, West Virginia. So that is where I'm heading right now, to get a camper to take to Barnesville so they could take it down to North Carolina. So
there you go.
Just look on Facebook, look wherever you need to do it. And if you can do it, at least transport it. Maybe they could, you know, there's connections. So I just thought I'd let you know where we're heading.
Sleeping in tents, 19 degrees, sleeping in tents. Joe Allen, go ahead, Joe.
My son's company, we've been up there twice, like we Coach is doing. We've been there twice now. And we look for propane tanks to take up there. A regular 6 or 7 pound propane tank runs around $35 to $40. A 30 gallon, where you see these campers run, they're over 100. So what can $100 do with Salt Life Ministry? You know, that's one propane tank, 30 pounder. And we take our own heavy vehicles up there and did excavation and stuff like that. Just it, we got far as Asheville, and people are still hurting up there.
Hey, Joseph, what if the federal government said, put out a call and said, listen, anybody out there who's got a skid steer, who's got a backhoe, anybody that's got any ability to move any kind of dirt, we want to hire you. We're going to take that $1 billion that we just gave to Africa, and we're going to hire you, American citizen, to go down there and clean that place up. Why can't they do that? What the hell is wrong with us that we can't think like that? There are guys out there who got, they go do it, pay him to go do it. Why is everything volunteer when the government's given all of our money every place else? We couldn't pay these guys? Couldn't pay them to come and do it? Buy their gas for them? Of course we could. They don't want to. It's not their priority. Roger.
You know, Dave, I live in Pickerington, Ohio, and I looked at my little weather map, and it is 18 degrees in Pickerington, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to wrap my hands around the concept of being outside in a tent.
You mean you're not in a tent there, Roger?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to wrap my head around. I'm in a tent at 18 degrees.
Families.
Yeah, with children. Dave, I'm just sitting here. I cannot believe we just sent $999 million to Africa. It is, where do we live?
Roger, it has to be purposeful.
Who is making these decisions?
Roger, it has to be a thumb in the eye. Don't you think it's purposeful thumb in the eye? It has to be.
It has to be that corruption, kickback. But who in leadership? The first 400 people in the Columbus phone book wouldn't make that decision. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Who in the, you're just floored by it. I don't know what else to say of importance, very little other than I can't believe the leadership of this country that has the ability to spend money is doing so little. You could have for $999 million, we sometimes don't remember what a billion looks like. You could be rolling RV cars, brand new trucks. Every day you could be delivering probably 400 every day. They could be coming in from every part of the country, everywhere, riding down there, parking them one after another. It's just unbelievable.
Somebody taught me a few years ago, trust but verify, with a billion minutes, $1 billion, $900 billion, a billion minutes ago, Christ was on earth. Billion minutes ago. Think how much a billion is. It's just,
we all should be calling our Congress people, person, them, they, whatever they call them, and raising hell. What is going on here?
What's going on?
David, just like I said, it floors me. I thank you for the effort you're doing in the small role that we can all play in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they talk about Ukraine and the money wasted. We destroyed a country there.
We did.
We destroyed Ukraine. We did that by saying, let's fight.
Roger, the money didn't even go to the Ukraine.
No. And they think the 7 or 8 million people who have left Ukraine are coming back. I don't think so. And I don't know. I don't care how you feel about Putin or Russia or Poland, whatever, but there was a way out of that other than let's destroy a nation.
That's right. Let's do it. Not only that, Roger, let's break America to destroy that nation. That's really this. Follow the money. Randy.
Well, Coach, I see myself as the answer. I see the kingdom of God as the answer. Well, I was meditating earlier, Coach, about the saints being the vehicle. They are the vehicle for righteousness, justice, truth, mercy. And the Holy Spirit needs our willing body and our soul, our mind, our heart to display the wisdom of God and to open the eyes of our nation. This is our hour, Coach. You're shining. We are shining right now through the people who see who are. So, Coach, if more people, more of the church would say, I'll be the light. I'll be your vehicle. We don't need to worry about the stupid government, the idiots, the unrighteous people. We need to show the people who the real we the people are. And that's this is what God is doing, Coach. He is making people choose. Do you want to go into the promised land or not? Do you want my presence, my kingdom, or do you want this other little God kingdom that can't even take care of you, that don't care about you? Look, we were all socialist. We were all ushered in after World War II and WPA and the Depression. We all became a socialist nation. I'm sorry, folks. You are socialist. We have to come out of that, Coach. This is God's timing to say, come out of her, my people. Live my world and my kingdom. Quit living in the other kingdom.
Amen.
Show them, Coach.
Folks, go see Bonhoeffer. It is prelude to what's going on in America right now. It is, man. I'm telling you. Elizabeth, come on in.
I guess it was about a month ago. We hosted a yard sale, and we made like well over $1,000. So if everybody in the queue could do the same, just host a yard sale and donate all of the money to Pass the Salt, do y'all know how much of an impact that could make? Mm. I mean, that could be life-changing.
Amen. Beth, don't muzzle the ox, right?
Folks, exactly.
I'm going to hand Cowboy Dave a $10,000 check today. Money that those two guys gave. Well, God, we continue to finance his efforts, help with his efforts. They put $10,000 in my hands yesterday. I'm going to go down there and give it to him. I'm not going to filter it through some, oh my goodness. Come on, man. We can do this stuff. And the truth of it is, at some point, you're going to have to trust somebody or get in your own car and drive down there and hand them the money yourself, whatever. But at some point, you got to trust somebody that ain't ripping people off. Brett, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. So I just took what Roger said and did a little math on that. So $1 billion. So, a pretty decent truck is and a camper, new camper is about, $75,000. You know, that's $13,000 the government spending over in Africa, $1 billion. That's 13,300 vehicles.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Brett, we could get them cheaper than that. Now you have 26,000 of them.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Anyway, that's all I had, Coach.
What's going on, friends? What's going on? And I always beat up on them. Who do I got here? Frozen Chosen. Come on back in. Get warm there, Frozen. Your hand's still up.
You know, this Cowboy Dave guy, he's such a con artist, you know. He's out there. It's 18 degrees out here. It's probably windshield's probably one. He's out there with his hat waving to the people in the morning. Now, what? I mean, I'm telling you, he's a way better man than I am. He's out there every morning. I had the privilege to go out yesterday morning and actually let him sit in the truck and actually let his feet unthaw and his hands unthaw. And for a half hour, I stood there in a corner greeting people. People are honking horns, waving at me, giving me the thumbs up. People stopping by, saying thanks just for being here.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, in a half hour, my hand was, with the glove on, my hand was so froze, it took a half hour for the thing to thaw out so I could feel it. Mm. Cowboy Dave's out there right now going through the same thing, and he'll never complain. Just that honk and that wave, he said, it makes it worth that. And people stop by and seeing him. And so that's the kind of guy God led us to. He's as true to the bone as anybody on walking on the face of the earth trying to move the needle for the kingdom of God. I'm telling you right now, I thank God for connecting us up with this guy, because he's definitely the same mindset as Pastor Salt. Praise God.
He is. Folks, pray, please. that we can get that camper down there today. So somebody can be sleeping in a camper tonight. Tonight, somebody can be out of a tent. You saw those tents, the wind, the ruffling of those tents. Are you kidding me? What? You got children? Children sleeping in those things? God help us. Sending money to Africa, Ukraine. Craig, come on in.
Yeah, well, one coach is BlackRock's not putting a bid in for the campers. That's the problem. So,
There you go. They must not own any camper businesses, huh?
Well, BlackRock only, you know, they rebuild over the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah. They don't do work in here. That's right. I mean, think about all the people that could have jobs in the supply chain and everything like that. But anyways, thing I wanted to just say here real quick, let me change subjects. Tomorrow's a big day, Coach. It's a big day in the spiritual world. Why is it a big day in the spiritual world? Because Notre Dame is going to be back in business this weekend, and it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Have you heard about the Immaculate Constellation? Did you hear about that the last couple of weeks ago? Yeah, there's a thing called the Immaculate, and Donald Trump's going to be there. Okay, he's going to be there at that event. Now, this Notre Dame has a great history, right? That's where Napoleon, on December 2nd in 1804, declared himself emperor. Okay, there is a, what I'm just trying to point out here, is there's a major spiritual thing shifting this weekend. Mm. And it's not necessarily a good spiritual thing. And Donald Trump, okay, the good things it, but we got to call him out for the other things. He pardoned Jared Kushner's father-in-law, yet he's appointed Jared Kushner's father-in-law to France, okay? And so he's going to be meeting Macron over there. Macron's been working with MBS in Saudi Arabia. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on underneath what's going on. And that's all I want to say. So the fact that Notre Dame is getting dedicated again is very important this weekend. So you can go down that trail.
Amen. Amen. Jeff Klein.
Coach, you know, a few days ago, Frozen Chosen in there stopped at my car lot. And we chatted. And I said, told him, I said, you know how it is when you meet somebody, you first meet somebody for the first time, you're thinking, what is up with this dude? You just wonder sometimes. You know what I mean? I said, I'm going to tell you, when you meet Cowboy Dave, you might think that first 5 minutes you're meeting, but give it a few minutes. Once you get to know him, it is just amazing, the man that he is. I just want to say, Cowboy Dave is the real deal. Until you meet him and get to lock arms with him and chat with him and know his heart. And that's what he told me. His ministry was what? Hearts hurt.
Hearts hurt, yeah.
That's what it's all about. That man is just incredible. And I can tell by listening to Frozen Chosen, he figured it out right away. He'll probably say amen to that.
So Jeff, one of the lines in Bonhoeffer, and I don't have it. I mean, there are a lot of really wild moments when during that, but Bonhoeffer, he was fleeing Germany for his life because the Fuhrer hated him. He was a MAGA guy in a J6 situation, and they were hunting him down. So Bonhoeffer did what we all would do. He left the country. And he left the country and he came to America. And he came over here in America, and one of the guys cornered him and said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm paraphrasing. They're gonna kill me. If I stay over there in Germany, they're gonna kill me. And the guy looked at him and said, so you're running from the battle? What do you say? You're running from the battle to save your own hide? That's what you're doing? Well, then you must not be much of a Christian. If you don't believe that you walk around and preach it, that would have called to lay down our lives, But now you're confronted with laying down your life and you come to America? That really convicted me, man. At the end of the day, comfort and joy, right? 'Tis the season to be jolly. Comfort and joy, comfort and joy. That's a, isn't that a Christmas carol? Comfort and joy. We get to the point where we, are you your brother's keeper? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? When you go and you want to, like my wife said the other day, when she gave that lady, that guy $10 and she came home and she was sick at her stomach because she should have given him 20. She had a 20 and she gave him 10. And her own heart was exposed to her. But the selfishness that I gave him the least amount I had in my wallet, not the most. A lot of soul searching. Time for all of us, a lot of soul searching. And we're all going to have to figure out, you all in, baby? Are you all in? Remember I talked about being a benefactor? If you're serving the Lord just for the benefits, well, good luck. Good luck. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not patting Mike Blake on the back. I got a million things I could be doing rather than sitting in a freaking hotel here in Charleston, West Virginia. You going to serve the Lord or not? You going to give him your life or not? Susie, come on in.
The most powerful line I got out of that film was he looked at them boys as they're getting ready to get persecuted, and he said, not all churches have a steeple.
Not all churches have a steeple. Amen, Susie. There were a lot of wow moments. I uttered out loud, wow. Randy.
Amen, Susie. That's powerful. He started seeing who the church really was, Coach. That's what he ran on.
That's right.
That was the anointing Bonhoeffer had, Coach. Coach Dave, Cowboy Dave, right now, Coach, the anointing's on them. They're you're in a zone. You're doing something. We need to get the ball to you and just ride that until we all win, Coach.
Yep.
When you ride that player that's hot, get him the ball, get him in the game, get him where he can make a play because he is in a zone. That is what we have to do. We have to see where the anointing of God is and go get in it, Coach, and assist it and advance it and push it. Right now, there is an anointing on Cowboy Dave, Coach. Yeah. If you can't see it, you're just blind.
Randy, we ain't going to muzzle that ox, brother. We're not going to muzzle that ox, Randy.
Amen, Coach. You're preaching it right. You're right on the target, Coach. Amen.
I can't duplicate what he does, but I can fund it, baby.
I can see. I see it, Coach.
I can fund it.
I can fund it, Coach. Amen.
Government ain't coming. Not all churches.
Coach, we don't want them.
We don't want
them. We don't want them. We want them gone. We want them out of the way. They are the problem. That evil, Luciferian, unrighteous government is because we, the people, aren't being the righteous government. Amen. We don't want them. This is our chance, Coach.
This is our chance. It's our chance. Pray for us that we get that van down, or camper down the other day. Somebody gets warm, safe travels, all that. And the line of the day, not all churches have a steeple. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.